All right. Thank you for that, Daniel. I would have your Bibles open to 1 Samuel there, the verses that we have there. We're going to be looking at many verses tonight. I want to get a thought out to us. Thank you again for being here. I hope you can hear in the back. I know it's not the best, and we'll work on that. But thank you for being here. I'm hearing a lot of you like meeting outside. It's nice. It allows us to meet together. It has fresh air, which is nice, too. We like that. But you have to really make sure you focus in because there can be distractions. And so I appreciate you doing that for us. I'm going to talk about a subject tonight I think will help us if we'll give a listen. Of course, all of us have probably heard of Mark Twain. His real name was Samuel Clemens, and he was a great writer. You know many of his books. But there was one thing about him. He had a very deep contempt for Christianity. He did not believe in Christianity and really fought against it. He met a young lady, Olivia Langdon, and she was a Christian young lady, and she was raised in a good Christian home. And he started courting her, and he kind of scaled back on his anti-God rhetoric to kind of win her and kind of fool her. And eventually it worked, and they got married. After they got into their marriage, he got right back into his caustic ways towards God, and eventually, through his influence, she quit going to church. They went through a rough patch in their life. They had a financial collapse. One of their children died, and his wife was really struggling with it. And he went to her. He said, "Look, if it would help you to lean on your faith, go ahead and do so." And she looked at him and said, "I don't have any faith left." He had driven that away from her. Influence. There is nothing more influential in the life of an individual than another person. Those who are our friends. And that can be not just even those we hang around with, those that we are in contact around, even relatives. Somebody whom we allow through either closeness or through a decision, we allow them influence in our lives. Now, friendship it goes both ways. Influence from other people goes both ways. Think of it as a knife. A knife in the hand of a skilled surgeon is very helpful. They can use it to help somebody and help cure them of whatever ails them. But in the knife of a criminal, it can be used to actually take somebody's life. So friendship is like that. It can be used both ways. Spiritually speaking, the influence of friends are very, very vital. But again, it's like the knife illustration. If you have the right friends, they can spur you to more spiritual growth. But if you allow the wrong kind of individuals access in your life, they can actually be detrimental and actually cut out a little bit of spirituality in your life. God made it very clear that as Christians, we should be spiritual and we should influence others. We know the verse well in 2 Timothy 2:2. It says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." God had told Timothy, and all, by way is scripture telling us that the things that Paul had taught Timothy, he should teach to faithful men, and then they'll teach to others. That's all about influence, spiritual influence, helping people in the right way and being the right kind of friend. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42, the early days of the early church, after the days of Pentecost when they were saved, it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them 3,000 souls," added unto the church there. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship." And then the other things that you already know. In other words, they continued and they were fellowshipping. How would that be helpful? Because they're fellowshipping with these believers, and it was encouraging them or strengthening them in their faith. We're going to look at that tonight. Our main text to get us started is Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." That's both sides of the knife illustration. If we walk with a wise person, we're using it for right. For if we're a companion of fools, it's going to influence us for the wrong. We're going to get to that in a minute. The introduction tonight is going to be long, and the points that I'm going to give you are going to be very, very short. But I want you to get this main thought. The Bible talks about right influences. Let me quote some verses. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 20. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. The two go together. If we're walking in the ways of good men, we will keep the path, or we will live on the path of righteousness. Psalm chapter 119:63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Now, verse 25 talks about don't forsake the assembling yourselves together. In other words, it's important to be the church. By the way, regardless of what our government tells us, it's important for God's people to be together. But before that, he gives one of the reasons why. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good words. Provoke means to strongly encourage or influence to love and good works. That's right influence. But the Bible also talks about bad influence and how that affects us. Proverbs 9:6 says, forsake the foolish and live. Go in the way of understanding. In other words, there's comparisons there. We forsake the foolish and we'll live, and by proxy that will cause us to go into the way of understanding. Now, what I want to do is I want to look at several illustrations in the Bible of people that were adversely affected by the wrong friends and the wrong influence in their life. I was youth director here in the very early days of the church. And inevitably, if we had a youth that started to go wrong and started to get into trouble, I could always trace it to influences. Who are you hanging around with? And by the way, in the times in which we live with cell phones and social media, it's a lot easier. But you know, the fact of the matter is, it's not just young people. It's all of us. We can all be adversely affected by those whom we hang around with, or those we allow influence into our life, as well as being influenced correctly. But to get started, I want us to see some illustrations. We saw that here in the verses where Brother Ross read for us in Second Samuel. Amnon was one of David's sons. Now, because David had multiple wives, he had children, multiple children with different wives. So they weren't all 100% brothers and sisters. You had half brothers and sisters. And Amnon saw Tamar, and he's like, wow, she's got it going on. And he was attracted to her. Now, that's just a thought that was in his mind. It's just something there, like he looked at his sister and said, wow, she's a beautiful girl. But he became infatuated with his mind, and he started to dwell on it, and it started lodging there. But that's really where it would have stopped. But what happened is he started to feel bad, and started to feel literally sick because he had such a desire for her, and he knew it was wrong. But then something happened. It says in verse 3 of 2 Samuel, it says, but Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. Not only was it his friend, the Bible mentions it was his friend, but he was also a cousin. See, let me say this going here. Sometimes we allow bad influences in our life because they're family members. Okay? I had a lot of bad friends growing up, and it pushed me in a totally wrong direction, but I had some relatives also. My mom, my uncle taking me to work and some of the things we did on the way to work, she would have freaked out. Okay? Oh, it's just Uncle So-and-so. I won't call him out on the internet. But it's like Uncle So-and-so was not a good influence. So he has this cousin, and the cousin says unto him in verse 4, why art thou being the king's son lean from day to day? In other words, he noticed there was something bad. He wasn't as happy as he was before. Something's going on here. What is wrong with you? And Amnon said, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. He's trying to distance it, isn't he? He didn't say my half-sister. It's Absalom's his half-brother's sister. But that's, look, that's that thought would have stayed there until verse 5. And Jonadab said unto him, lay down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, he'll say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I might see it and eat at her hand. He says, hey, pretend to be sick. And then when you're sick and dad comes to see you, say, you know, I'd feel better if you let Tamar come and make me something to eat right here. Now that probably wouldn't have been, you know, unusual for David. Like, okay, his sister's going to come and feed him food. But that was nothing more than a plan. And if you know the story and you read the rest of the chapter, he used that to get alone with her and forced himself on her. And that caused all kinds of problems. It caused Absalom to get upset with him and eventually kill him. It led to a split in the family between Absalom and his dad, which led to Absalom stealing the kingdom and David having to flee, which led to David's men fighting and killing Absalom. It did nothing but destruction of the family, but here's the point. He was adversely affected by the counsel of the wrong kind of friend. His infatuation with his sister would never have turned into sinful action had there not been a friend there pushing him and counseling him how to take it a step farther than he probably never would have taken it. Be very, very careful. The friends we have can push us to do things that we would normally not do. They would push us into actions. Listen, I know just growing up, I got involved in things, but it all started with friends. That's just what we do. And it's like, okay, if that's what they do, then that's what we do. Be very careful. And it ruined many people in David's family and caused David a great deal of grief. Now turn over to 1 Kings chapter 12. Again, the introduction is going to be long, and then I'll give you a few points, and we'll get out of here. Look, I'm looking at the clock. The clock says it's 19:28. I usually go till 8, so we've got 7 or 8 hours left before we get to 8. Okay. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 3, we're going to talk about Rehoboam, another one of David's relatives, but this is Solomon's son. Solomon's son. So Rehoboam's friend caused him to be affected by sin. Rehoboam gets in trouble because he follows wrong counsel. Verse 3, they sent unto him and said and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam. Now, Rehoboam is just taking over as king. Solomon had died. And Solomon, towards the end of his life, had problems. By the way, you know why Solomon had problems? He collected wives like baseball cards. He had like 700 wives, 300 substitutes. They were false god worshipers, and they turned his heart towards God. So at the end of his life, he was causing a lot of problems. And so they come to him, and they're like, they're going to tell him, hey, your dad was causing problems. Can we fix this now that you're the king? Verse 4, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now, therefore, make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke, which he put upon us, lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, depart for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. He goes, okay, let me think about this for 3 days. And by the way, all they were asking for was him to let up a little bit. That's all. Solomon started afflicting some of the people. He was totally wrong. Instead of him thinking about it, he's going to take a few days to really, that was, he should have just did it. Look at verse 6. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men which had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do you advise that I answer the people? And they said unto him, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. I was just thinking, that'd be really good for our politicians. They're not doing that, but anyhow, that's a message for another day. See, the old guys that stood with Solomon for many years, they had probably seen Solomon's turn. And they had seen how it had affected the people. And they're like, listen, Just serve the people and they'll do whatever you want. They'll follow you. You'll be able to lead them. Things will go well with your kingdom. Good advice, by the way. Older men, they'd been around the block. They saw the good of Solomon. They saw the bad of Solomon. And they saw the ugly of Solomon. And they could give solid advice. What does he do? Look at verse 8. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. See, look, see what he does? That's his buddies. It's the guys he grew up with that didn't have enough common sense to anything. Yeah, they're his friends. They don't know anything about running a kingdom, but they were thinking, aha, you're the king now. You're in charge. You have all the power, kind of like Gavin Newsom. And they're like, you show these people who's the boss. Let them know that if Solomon was rough, I'm going to be way rougher than Solomon ever was. And guess what happened? The people said, we're out. There was 12 tribes in the kingdom. 10 of them took off and started their own country, the northern, which was Israel. And only one of the tribes stuck with Rehoboam. He had two, the one he was from and one more. And he was Judah, the southern kingdom. They said, we don't have to fall. We're out of here. We're not going to listen to you. Why? Because he listened to his buddies. You've got to be. I've been doing this for a really long time. I've heard people tell me some of the off-the-wall things they're going to do because their buddy told them to do it. Your buddy hasn't. Look. Sometimes, you know, we say, somebody doesn't have the answer to the question. Your buddies don't even know the questions. You might want to talk to somebody that knows a little bit about life, but we're influenced. Now, by the way, you can have buddies the same age that'll encourage you to do the right thing. I'm not saying, but you know what I'm talking about. Don't get life counsel from somebody that, if you're 17 and this guy, hey, I'm 18. I got this all figured out. Okay. You do. It's funny, 18 and 19 year olds, they know how to be great husbands, wives, and raise children. They don't know anything about it. But what was his point? He went to his buddies, his contemporaries. He got bad counsel from his friends, and they don't know anything. Let's look at another one. Let's look at, turn to Judges chapter 14. We're going to look at Samson. So Amnon was affected by sin because of a friend. And then Rehoboam lost the kingdom because he was affected by bad counsel. Solomon had another issue altogether. It's Judges chapter 14 and verse number 1. Judges 14 verse 1. Now we know Samson. Okay. I say this over, but it's like, it's in the Bible, right? Samson didn't need an army. He was the army. Right? Samson was like, hey, there's a couple thousand guys out there. They want to fight us. He's like, all right, I'll be back in a minute. I mean, he had supernatural strength from God. Not a guy you want to mess with. And he's the strongest man, other than Christ, that ever lived on the face of this earth. And yet he got taken down by influence. What kind of influence? This is mostly for the guys. Let me just lay this out here. Judges chapter 14. Verse 1 and 2. See if you can figure out Samson's problem as I just read some verses. Are you ready? This is early on. And Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. By the way, God said, don't, you can't be around the Philistines. They're idol worshipers. They were Israel's enemies. Here he is down there. And then let's see how he responded when he saw this girl. Verse 2. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. He goes, I want her. Go get her. Let's look at Judges 16:1. Two chapters over. By the way, that one didn't work out. Judges 16:1. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot, think you know what that is, and went in unto her. I'm not going to explain that, but you know what that means. But why did he do that sinful action? Because he saw this woman. Look at Judges 16, verse 4. And it came to pass afterwards, after this harlot in Gaza, that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Okay, can I just say, we're batting 0 for 3 here. Oh, for three. What is the common denominator of these individuals? They're all women. Women aren't bad. That's not the point. The point is, we think we know what his problem was. The problem that most guys can have if they're not careful. Look at verse 15. Let's see how this worked out with, you know, Delilah. And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and thou hast not told me wherewith thy great strength lieth. See, the enemies came and said, listen, we can't take this guy out, okay? He's like Superman on steroids. And they're like, you've got to find out where his power comes, you know. Where does his strength come from? They knew it wasn't normal. It was supernatural. And so he plays around. Delilah goes, tell me. And he tells her something, and then she'll tie him up. And so they're upon thee. And he, because that wasn't his strength. And she kept doing this over and over. And he never had his head shaven. And he shouldn't have told her. But because she kept pressing him over and over and over, and now there was a relationship. Verse 16, it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words, nonstop, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Here's the problem, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hast not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. She knew it then. She's, I got him. She knew because of his feelings for her and what was going on, he just gave in and told her everything. He was vexed unto death, and that was what's going to happen. Verse 18, when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in her hand. She didn't even care about him. What was his problem? By the way, you know the story. He gets caught. They poke his eyes out. He has to end up dying in order to extract revenge on them. But what was his affection by his influences? He was afflicted by women and just straight out lust. And it was the wrong women. The ones that would give in to what he wanted. But lust. We need to be very, very careful. Good men and good kids will do all kinds of nonsense because their lust is out of control, and they'll find that person. By the way, all guys like girls. If you don't like girls, there's something wrong. I understand. All guys like girls, but there's a way we're supposed to live as Christians. Amen. And there's a time and a place for that. Amen. And when we get that out of order, there's a lot of bad things that happen and a lot of judgment that comes, and it's just flat out sin. But a lot of it wouldn't be a problem, but we put ourselves in the wrong place, and then there's someone there that'll go along with you. And the strongest man that ever lived, I mean, he could take thousands down by himself, was taken out by a woman. By a woman. Let's look at another one here. Turn to Genesis chapter 19. We have two more, and then we'll get to a few points and we'll be done. Lot, I want to talk about Lot. We mentioned him in a message a few weeks ago we talked about. A Lot. Genesis chapter 19, verse 4 to 8. You know the story already. I'll give you a little. Lot was raised by Abraham, his uncle. They were both very prosperous and doing well, but their prosperity was herds and their workers and so forth. And they started, because they were growing and so prosperous, there was too much. They just couldn't be together. And so one of them had to go. And Lot's like, why don't we split up? Because there's strife between our herdsmen and your cattle and all that. So why don't we split up? We're too big. And he's like, take wherever you want. Lot made a bad decision. He looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's like, you know, I'm gonna take this. This land looks better, but it was facing these wicked cities. And by the way, they were very wicked. Before long, he wasn't outside the city. He was inside the city. And he was at the gate, which means he was probably a little bit of a leader there. He had a standing in the city, believe it or not. This wicked city that was so wicked, God is actually going to destroy it, and he did. But before he destroyed it, The angels come to take Lot out. Abraham prays and asks God, hey, you know, if there's so many righteous, can you spare the city? He thought there'd be at least 10 righteous in the city. God spare it. It wasn't even 10. And so the angels are going to graciously take Lot and his family out of the city. So the angels come and they're lodging with Lot. They're staying with him overnight. Chapter 19, verse 4. But before they lay down at night to stay overnight, even the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both young and old, all the people, from every quarter. So all the men are coming around Lot's house. And they called unto Lot and said, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Now that doesn't mean they wanted to play cards and what's your name? My name's Tom. They wanted to rape them. The men wanted these men, these angels out. That's what they tell Lot. And Lot went out to the door and shut the door after them. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. What in the world is Lot doing calling men like that his brethren? He had a standing in the city, and he was influenced by them. You say, no, he was probably just, okay, I don't even know what to do with verse 8. I don't even know what to do with it. Let's read it. Behold now, I have, and I mentioned this a couple Sunday morning, I have two daughters which have not known man. These were two daughters, never even dated. Let me, I pray you, I can't comprehend this as a father. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore they come under the shadow of my roof. I don't know what to say. If they were going to rape the men, what do you think they would have done to his daughters? And he says, take my daughters. I think he was affected by them. I think his standing in the city, it was more than just him being, he was affected by these, calling them brethren. And that, by the way, I read stuff like that and it's like, now I know why God wiped out that city. And by the way, I fear for our country. We're not quite there yet, but boy, we're speeding in that direction. We put our children at risk. They're vulnerable. If they can get out of the womb without being murdered. And now we're trying to lower the age. We're sick. It affected him because he was close to them. One more. And this one might seem a little bit misplaced, but I want to share a thought with you. His name is Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Thank you for being patient. I know we're looking at a lot of verses. I'm trying to make a point tonight so we understand the importance of our friendships. We understand the importance of our influences. I like Jehoshaphat, but he had Achilles' heel. 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 1 to 3. Now Jehoshaphat, he was the king of Judah, the good kingdom. By the way, the northern kingdom never had a good king. Never. And Judah was a mixed bag. Jehoshaphat was one of the good ones. He had riches and honor and abundance. Okay, here we go. And joined a firmity with Ahab. Who's Ahab? Ahab was the king of the northern kingdom. He was the king that Elijah dealt with. And if you want to know, if here's all you got to know about Ahab. He was married to Jezebel. He was a bad king. He was a really bad king. He did lots of bad things. Pushed by his wife. He was anti-God. Jehoshaphat should have had nothing to do with him. But, verse 2, and after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria. And Ahab, they're visiting. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance. And for the people that he had with him. And persuaded him to go up with him to Ramath Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go down with me to Ramath Gilead? And he answered him and said, I am as thou art, and my people is thy people. We will be with thee in the war. He went with them. By the way, I like when the prophet comes out. And they're like, are you gonna prosper this war? And the prophet says, God says, look, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, if I regarded his presence, I wouldn't even talk to you guys. He was a good king. Chapter 19, verse 1 and 2. They go out to war and so forth. And verse 1, Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel, returned to his house in peace, Jerusalem. I mean, it's over. He's helped them. He's went there. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, like a prophet, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, are you ready? They just had war. He's over there. Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. God calls him out. By the way, you know, sometimes I say, you know, your type of churches, you guys are a little bit pointed. I see that in the Bible, right? Shouldn't we preach the truth? He comes back and he is out of the war and he's coming back. Woo, finally home. The prophet comes up and says, are you supposed to help them that hate the Lord? Are you supposed to be hanging with the ungodly? What are you doing? Now, Jehoshaphat doesn't get a bad attitude about it because he's a good king. It's like, okay, he learned his lesson and he got away with it because he, you know, everything was good. Okay, let's read a little bit more here. 2 Chronicles, please, chapter number 21. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 21, verses 1 to 5. It says, now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers. That didn't mean he took a nap. He died. Just like the kings, his father, the kings before him. And was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. And he had brethren, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah, Jehiel, Zechariah, Azariah, Michael, Shethiah, and all these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. And their father gave them gifts of silver, not of gold, and of gold, and of precious things, with fenced cities in Judah. So he gives all this stuff to all of his sons. But the kingdom gave me Jehoram because he was the firstborn. Makes sense, right? Now when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself. You know, new king. Let me get established in leading the country here. Let me get my authority here, everything in order. He strengthened himself and slew all his brethren with the sword and divers also of the princes of Israel. You see what he did? He didn't need to, but he decided that I just don't even want to have the competition of my brothers here being the king. Now, you saw a lot of assassinations and stuff like that in the northern kingdom. You didn't see a lot of that stuff in the southern kingdom. But just to be safe, just to be the top guy, maybe to get those cities back, maybe to get that all that prosperity for himself, he kills all of his brothers. You say, man, where in the world did he get an idea like from that? A kid from a good family, good king, good dad, where did he get the ideas? Shall we move on? Verse 5. Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. Verse 6, here we go. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. Now, I told you earlier, how many of them were good? Zero. Counting the last one? Zero. There wasn't any. He walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of who? Why? Here we go, people. For he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. And he wrought that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Okay, who's that? That's Jezebel Jr. He picked a bad one. Not just a bad one who burned a dinner or threw the frying pans. I mean, she was evil. Does anybody know her name? I do. It's my job. Athaliah. We talked about Athaliah in a message. Who is Athaliah? Athaliah is the one who, when her son, who was the king, died, she killed all of her grandsons so she could be the queen. Now, Aunt Jehoshaphat saved one of the kids so that we could have a good king later. Joash. What happened? How in the world was he so evil? He was married to Jezebel Jr., Athaliah, who probably made Jezebel look like a good woman. How did he marry her? She was from the northern kingdom. They didn't have anything to do with God. They didn't have anything to do except that Jehoshaphat was buddies with Ahab. And while he was up there, his son caught the attention of Athaliah, or they got together, I don't know, and had a little meeting and said, yeah, your daughter can marry my son. And it ruined him. You see, sometimes our influences ruin our families. We might want to be careful about that, by the way. Oh, well, that's just, be very careful. We're so free with our kids. We'll send them to slumber parties with who knows who's there. Oh, that didn't go over very well, but that's okay. Well, that's a relative, or that's a, better be very careful. The influences that we choose to have in our life, we may get by with it, but our children may not get by with it. We may be inadvertently bringing the wrong kind of influence into the life of our child. And it can be a relative. It can be your work. It doesn't matter. The point is, we need to be very careful. We've looked at all these situations and all these people that had issues. What were the problems? The problems were in their influences. Now, let's just tie this together very quickly. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. Because we have a choice as to our influences. We can choose who we allow to influence us. I'm just being honest. I've said it over and over. When I got saved and I decided to live like a Christian, I could have done it in a better way. So don't. I ditched my friends. I knew if I was hanging around with them what I was going to do. Now, when they started checking up on me, it wasn't like today you could text them or whatever. We didn't have that. But they called like, man, what are you doing? They showed up at my house on a Friday night, two of them. I hadn't seen them in weeks. And Friday nights, I wasn't at home typically. It was at Robert's house playing cards. No. They came by and they're like, hey, what's going on? What are you doing? And I didn't do this all the time. I'm not Mr. Spiritual, okay? I wasn't doing this all the time. But that particular moment, I was in my room, and I was studying something in the Bible. So they're like, man, what have you been doing? What were you doing right now? And I'm like, I was reading my Bible. They're like, I'm going to church. They left pretty soon. I had a girl call me. I'd dated her a couple times. I hadn't seen her in forever, and she called. Hey, my parents gone. Come hang out. Blah 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 blah. And I'm like, I'm not going over there. And then I'm like, I got to just tell her what's going on in my life. She goes, so what have you been doing? I'm like, I'm going to church. I got saved. And it was like silence on the phone. You would have thought I cussed at her. And like, hey, I got to go. I'm like, you do. But I wasn't, I didn't, and I probably could have been more tactful, okay? I could have been. I didn't want to be mean. But I'll be honest with you, I would have rather done that than put myself with people I knew were going to push me the wrong direction. Now, by the way, some of my friends came and I took them to church. A couple of them got saved. And I tried to help them that way. But I wasn't going to be ruined. So we got to be very careful. We have a choice. And if you look at Proverbs 13, verse 20, you see the differences. If I choose wise men or I choose fools. So let me just give you three quick thoughts here. And I really do mean quick. First of all, there's a difference, and this is all about who we choose to hang around with. There's a difference in activity. He says, he that walketh with wise men. Walketh, that's an action. That's a purpose. People like this, they don't see their friendships, those times being together, as separated from their spirituality. There's a purpose in what they're doing. By the way, you can't separate friendship from spirituality. You just can't. And by the way, you know, if you have old friends, be kind to them and try to get them to church and love them, but don't let them influence you. Well, what? You're too good for us? I'd never say that, but just because someone says that doesn't mean I'm going to put myself in their path. Got to be very careful. Or companion. You know what companion means? It means to be shepherded and to graze, a companion of fools. Now think about that. When we're with foolish people, just the fact we're with them, we're being shepherded. We're grazing. We're being influenced whether we understand it or not. Okay? You're with somebody and they start doing something foolish, it's like, I'm out. But I don't want them to be offended. Then don't say anything. Just say, gotta go. But don't, we get so much peer pressure. I don't want to seem like a fuddy-duddy. And I get that, but I don't want to be backslidden either. I don't want to experience some of the things I've seen in the Bible from people that have the wrong influence. What is the key point in this one? Friendships are not purposeless. There has to be a purpose in them. And they do affect us. Secondly, told you it'd be fast, there's a difference in attitude. What is that? Wise versus fool. He that walketh with wise men. Who's a wise man? A wise one is someone who's seeking to be spiritual. Seeking to be spiritual. Someone that wants to find what God wants in their life, what God says, and put it into practice in their life. That's wise. You see, if you hang around with a wise man, you can get to where you're supposed to be. I've given you these quotes before. You will be the same person you are today 5 years from now, except for the books you read and the people you hang around with. Now that was written by a leadership. Spirituality's in there too, so don't get me wrong. But your spirituality, if a person that's growing as a Christian, I guarantee you they have good friends. They have wise friends. You are or soon be, will be what your friends are. Who's your best friend? That's who you're going to be. And I'm talking about in lifestyle, not, you know, they're saying, oh, man, I'm going to go find a best friend that's like got the IQ of you know, Einstein. No, if your IQ is an Einstein now, it's not going to grow. You know, you are what you are. You are the average of your five closest friends. So choose a wise person, someone that wants to be spiritual. But he says a companion of who? Fools. Fools are those who seek to be sinful. The good definition of fool would be one who ignores or defies God's principles. Let me say this. The wrong kind of friend is evident very quickly. You can tell. Look, I was youth director, I mentioned for a while. If I took a youth group of 50 and we had five of them that were, I would describe as being more towards, geared towards, more towards the foolish side, and we went 400 miles from here to another church activity with a youth group of 50 that have five people that are like that too, and they never met each other, you give me 5 minutes and the five foolish from each youth group will find each other. And the good ones will find each other too. You can tell right away. You say, but you know, I'm on that path and I'm growing forward. Hey, find people that are ahead of you that are going to take you the right direction. Okay? There's a difference in attitude. Why? What's the key point here? Friendships are not neutral or amoral. Amoral means, oh, you know, it's either good or bad. No, they're not. Friendships are not neutral. They're either good for you or they're going to be bad for you. And then the third point, there's a difference in achievement. What happens? You either get wisdom or you get destruction. He that walketh with wise men, what? You know, you're walking with a walking plus wise men equals becoming wise. But a companion plus fools equals being destroyed. That's what he says, wise. You will become wise. If you have friends that are pushing you towards the right thing, you will eventually start to catch on to that and become wise also. So choose friends that spur you forward. But if you're hanging around with a fool, those who do not have any, and you're just a companion, you're just hanging out with them, Bible says you're going to be destroyed. The word destruction is used for the sound of alarm when something bad is happening. It's coming. It's coming. You can hear it. That alarm is sounding. You're hanging around the wrong person. What is the key point here? Friendships have consequences. They do. Now, again, I don't want to be all negative here, but let's flip it to the good. So, what is the consequence of the friendships? Depends on who the friend is. If it's the right friend, there'll be good consequences. If it's the wrong kind of friend, there'll be negative consequences. So what I'm in conclusion, let me say, we just need to be careful about our influences. And by the way, I do admire our teenagers, and I understand you have a lot harder time than I had. In my generation, you're my age, which is, you know, 30 or so, define old. You know, look, if we wanted to see pornography, it was hard. You had to go to a little small movie theater that was dark and sneak in. Okay? It's accessible everywhere. Social media, you can hook up with the wrong person right away. By the way, you may not want to do that. Let me say this, since you asked, when it comes to social media. You want to know if your social media is a problem? What if I took your social media and what you post on there and I put it up here in church? Would you all be okay with that? I get tempted sometimes, but I wouldn't. Okay? If you're like, you know what's wrong then. Look, I'm not saying, look, you go on there, it's like, hey, I found a great donut shop. I found a great coffee shop. Hey, this is my grandkid acting dumb. Okay, here's what's going on in the church. We will get in the building eventually, that type of thing. That's okay, but I'm talking about the nonsense. But it's so easy. And it's so easy to connect with people that way, right? So we got to be very careful. Your family, the entertainment you watch influences you about people. I guess I will throw this in, since if I didn't make anybody mad, let me just go ahead and throw it out there. You know, well, what is it now? The Black Lives Matters in Portland are burning Bibles? Is that what LeBron James is kneeling for? Is that what the NBA is painting on the floor? I'll never watch a Laker game again. I'll never watch a basketball game again. Amen. And I've been a Laker fan since ever. I won't watch another football game. Hockey. I thought hockey was pure. It's my favorite. Well, it was on the other day. I'm like, let me see, because hockey. And it's like Black Lives Matters right there. Do they know what those people really believe? I'm for equality for everybody. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for it. That's not how you get there. Burning a Bible? Really? What's that have to do with anything? Anyhow, that's free. The news. Let me give you two final thoughts. I'll just say it. I'll give you the references you can read it. So two things I would tell you. Number one, be careful also about hanging around, not be loving and being kind and doing things for people, but those who are not Christians. I had a lot of friends that weren't Christians, and there was one time I gave in. I don't know why I did it. I was serving God. I was doing well, and I don't know what night it was. I'm like, I'm just going to stop by my old buddy's house, and I went by there. They offered me to do something, and I said yes, and I knew it was wrong, and as soon as I said it, my heart smote me, and I just turned around and walked and left. And I'm like, why did I go there in the first place? That was dumb. By the way, that friend did come to church and get saved later. Be careful about and that's for 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 to 18. And then be careful about the unspiritual. I will read this verse. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offer and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. God said that. Amen. You kids in our school, by the way, there's kids messing around. You better avoid them. It might be good if you let us know. I don't want to be a Christian. Tonight, some of us might need to make changes in who we hang around with. I read this. A man dialed a wrong number. No one was home, and he was waiting for it, and he realized it was a wrong number when the phone was answered, and he started hearing the recording. But he found the recording interesting, so he listened to it. Here's what the guy said. I'm not available right now, but I thank you for caring enough to call. I am making some changes in my life. Please leave a message after the beep. If I do not return your call, you are one of the changes. Amen. What am I saying? I'm not saying we're as Christians, we love everybody and we want to reach people for Christ. There's a big difference between that and letting someone influencing us for the wrong. And we can choose the right kind of friends. Let's stand together, please. Thank you for listening. Let's all stand together. Every head bowed, every eye closed just for a minute. Let's think about it. Let's think about it. As I look back at my life before I was a Christian, a lot of the sinful actions I was regularly involved in, they all started because a friend got me started in those actions. A friend. Now, by the way, it's not their fault. I chose to follow them and I chose to do those actions. Don't get me wrong. I chose to let them influence me. But can I just tell you something? After I started going to church and serving God, a lot of the good things I learned were because good people started to influence me, and I allowed that also. But our friends are very important. And by the way, it's your choice. And there's so many types of things that people try to do to force us to believe what they believe and to follow what they're following and put us in their path. We don't have to do that. You know, someone's like, well, why don't you want to hang around and say, okay, come to church? That'll really spark the crowd. Let's have the right kind of influences, please. Maybe it won't affect you as much, although it will, as maybe your family. I want to put my family in a good place where there's good people to, you know, I don't have to worry about what's going on. They have good friends, and I know that friends going to push them in the right direction and reinforce what I want for my family. That's very important. Let me just say this before I leave. And the greatest friend you can ever have is Jesus Christ. Amen. He died for our sins. And he gave us the greatest gift of all time. Salvation. Saving our souls. Maybe you're here tonight or watching on live stream. You tuned in. You're like, you know, I don't even understand what all this Christianity thing is about. And if you didn't, maybe some of this sounds harsh. And I don't want it to sound harsh, but I do want the truth to get out. But you say, because maybe you don't know Jesus Christ. Here's how you figure that out. Do you know 100% for sure if you were to die tonight that you would go to heaven? Or do you have some doubt? Someone asked me that, and I'm like, I had a lot of doubt. If you're here tonight or you're watching, let me ask you a question. Would you say, you know, Pastor, I'm not 100% for sure if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. I'm not, but I'd like to know that for sure. Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not 100% for sure if I were to die tonight, I'd go to heaven, but I would like to know that. Would you pray for me? If you just raise your hand, I'd pray for you anywhere. That's the greatest thing you can learn. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you that you have a life in mind for us. You have a better path, a destination for us than we even have for ourselves. And I pray, Father, that we would do everything that the Bible tells us to do to follow you. But one of those things, Lord, is we need to be very discerning in who our friends are and who we allow to influence us. And I pray that you would just help us. And I'm not saying we're better than anybody else, Lord, but if we know Jesus Christ and someone doesn't, it just makes sense that they're not going to follow the Bible. And that's not being mean. Help us, Father, to be influenced for the right. Help us to grow to such a place where we can be the one who is influencing people for the right. Be with us until we meet again on Thursday night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.